All right, welcome everybody off the pad. This is Corey Marshall.
What's up, folks? I'm Jaya Toler.
And we got a special guest on today. We're sitting here with comedian extraordinaire Micah Bam Bam White.
What is up, Jaya and Corey? What it do, man? What's up, y'all?
How you doing, young brother?
I'm good, man. Thank you for the word, young. I appreciate that. Indeed. Appreciate that.
Definitely glad to have you, man. Thanks
it's good
for
to
doing
be here.
Podcast, man. It's long overdue, actually, man. Long overdue.
Hey, man, everything has its time, and in time, everything has what it's supposed to have. That you know, you almost said something deep.
Almost profound.
Yeah.
I almost was deep.
I was
right
listening
there.
Too. I was like, where are you going?
But everything does have its time, and you know, everything happened in its time. Mm-hmm. So that's a better way to say it.
All right, everything,
that's
what my grandma wanted to say. Everything
I like how you rephrase
in its time.
That's it. That's right. It.
And this is what happened that in this time is Off the Pad with Micah Bam Bam White, man.
Thank you, listeners. Appreciate all your support. You guys are amazing.
Especially all the new listeners that's joining. Thank y'all for continuing listening to this podcast. And
You are already thinking that you are arrogant. He said, thank you for the new listeners, for continuing. Which means
exactly,
the new listeners are the ones to me that just started today.
Just started
like
today.
You already assuming that they're going to be here tomorrow and the week
and
after.
I'm assuming they're going to keep listening.
That's what's up. Okay.
What's up.
You better speak that thing into existence.
It if is. You listen to one of our episodes and you don't like it, then you're wrong.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
the end of that.
Oh, it's them. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Since we're on the vein of speaking things, we also want to thank our investors for investing into this podcast. Thank you for all our sponsors and things like that, our corporations that are involved with us for making this happen. We appreciate your dollars.
Indeed.
Yeah. You know how you can know they don't have any? Because if they had it, they would have to say their name. They're just thanking people out the blue. They speaking stuff into existence. I like it. This is a futuristic radio show. I don't think there are any listeners. I don't even think this goes on yet. We just here.
We haven't even aired yet. This is like.
Thank you, guys. This has been a special podcast.
Yeah. That's special guest on today. Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Now, before we can start with the podcast, man, y'all know it's Off the Pad. We got some tour dates coming up where you can catch us. This week, I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Comedy Zone with comedian Rodman. Those dates are the 19th through the 22nd. So if you know anybody in the area, you can catch me there. Going to have a good time. Jay, you got something coming up?
Yeah, the big thing for me, I'm promoting right now. I'm headlining at Rich and Funny Bone at April 29th. It's the last Wednesday in April.
Word.
So
y'all ain't got the applause thing, man.
Now we ain't got all
that's
that.
Big stuff, though, man. No, man, you work your butt off to get that.
So for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to smash every open mic in Richmond. So if y'all just want to have some drinks at a bar and listen to some workout comedy, come to one of those because I'm going to do it just to make sure I'm ready for April 29th. Lock that in.
April 29th, Richmond Funny Bone.
Now, let me give you a suggestion there, young whippersnapper.
I'm listening, and I appreciate it.
Go somewhere else and work on your material and let Richmond wait for it.
Okay.
So don't ask Richmond to come out and watch what I need you to come out and watch again.
I follow.
Go down to Virginia Beach. Hit some of them open mics. Go down to Tidewater. Hit some of them. Go up to D.C. Hit some of them. Just get out of town for a minute. Go work on that material. Come back and get Richmond ready. That way you want to build that anticipation. Build it.
Okay.
Boom.
All right, so Richmond, come to Virginia. No, I'm just kidding.
That's it. That's it. Now we back. Y'all got to come to the Funny Bone now. Yeah, you got to come to the bone.
What you got, Mike? Micah?
I'll be at the Richmond Funny Bone July 1st, 2nd.
I thought he was going to say August 29th. I'll be at the Funny Bone August 29th.
April 29th.
April 29th.
How you getting my date wrong? Thank you, partner.
But he didn't want me to really take your date.
I mean,
he did that subliminally. It was subliminal attack. I got it, though. I'm trying to bail this Negro out. But anyway, I'll be at the Richmond Funny Bone July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. First week of July, obviously. And then I'll be at the Hippodrome Theater with RVA Has Talent open mic on April the 3rd, first Friday in April. So that's an open mic. Y'all come check that out. Corey, man. Boy.
What's up?
Y'all need to go online. I'm going to put up the one of me and you singing the song at open mic.
Okay.
I think, man, let me tell you something. We're going to watch that before you leave tonight.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff.
But come out to the open mic. It's hilarious.
Yeah. The Unplugged events, man, those are like, if you're looking for a good event to go to in Richmond, and you know how people say there's nothing in town to go to, you just need to look. Unplugged, RVA Has Talent, they have that night, man. It's on Thursday night.
Well, now we just doing once a month on Friday nights. The next one is, we just had one this past Friday off the chain.
Okay.
So the next one is April 3rd, and that's going to be at the, in the Hippodrome,
the big theater.
Yeah.
See, that's how you know something's going good when the place you're at is too small. You got to expand. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up.
And what's funny is, before we, expanded, we didn't need this man, but when we expanded, we can't now go into the other room no more.
That's good.
That's crazy,
That's a
though.
Good problem. That's a good problem.
That's a great problem. Yeah. It's a great problem. Yeah. So, you know, but I think Friday night has a lot to do with it, too.
That's how I feel about our listeners on Off the Pad. We got to we had to buy another server to host all of the people plugging in and downloading our stuff.
Word. That we go with this futuristic stuff again.
We got to get a couple bank accounts, too.
I dig it, man. Speaking into existence.
Yeah. But, hey. That's enough of the preliminaries. We're going to go ahead and get started with Off the Pad. You know how
I want to get started yet.
What we going to do?
Man, I'm so excited about something. I gotta take over real quick. Just real quick.
What's up?
Today is the one-year anniversary of me and Michelle being officially boyfriend and girlfriend. Booyah. Don't look at me like that. I'm happy. You know, y'all can stay silent.
You know, I thought this was going to be
if you listen, shut up. If you listen to the podcast.
He said, baby, if you're listening, shut up. That's not how you talk to your girl, man, first of all.
Oh, man, everybody's just schooling me today. Oh. But no, here's what's sweet. This is going to be real quick. What's sweet, I came home, right, and apparently she had already gotten in and did some things around the house. It was all good. Mm-hmm. What I'm particularly happy about, she left a balloon, a yellow balloon of a smiley face. And it was just weird because today at work, I wore an orange shirt that got a smiley face on it. And I was like, oh, man, I come home. And my precious girlfriend left a smiley face balloon, and it just made me smile. Hey, let's get started with the show. I don't care what y'all think. I don't know what kind of relationships y'all have with y'all women, but my girl is the bomb, and she is amazing.
It shows.
Hey,
March
shows.
The 16th. If y'all,
hey,
y'all
Jaye is on radio trying to apologize for having to spend his 1 year anniversary with me and Corey. That's what he's doing.
I didn't get to take my girl. I don't know where.
The balloon, though, man. She left me a balloon.
Me and Corey looking at you like, you really think we care that much? Like, I mean, we happy for you. Don't get me wrong. But you really think, like, we care that much?
Y'all
like,
hating.
We going home by ourselves tonight.
Ain't it?
Me and you, baby. Michelle.
Man, that is incredible.
Hey, well, I guess that's if it makes you smile, I guess it makes me smile as well. But wish y'all the best. But,
no, don't try. Forget it.
All right, well, fine. Yeah.
I don't need the love.
Forget that. Yeah. Right. Let's go. Boom. Off the Pad.
Y'all are crazy, man.
Greetings again. Welcome to Season 2 of Off the Pad Podcast. The podcast serving you non-stop funny without interruption. Now sit back, relax, clock out, and get ready for the best moments of your day.
Yo, this Chameleon Rod, man, and you rolling, you listening, you in the zone with my man, Jaye Tola and Corey Masha, Off the Pad, baddest podcast on this side of the universe. You heard it from me, Rod Man. I'm out.
Thank you to the following people for providing today's topics. Michelle, Boss Lady Robinson. Selma, HIDS. Monica, Journey. Holly, Hollyloo, your king. Tamara, landing. Now, without further ado, I present to you two of the funniest, flyest, freshest soul brothers around, Jaye Tola and Corey Marshall.
Hey guys, so the way we're gonna do this, we're gonna ask Mr. Micah Bam Bam White a few questions. He hasn't seen these questions.
The OTP question, so y'all know them.
Yeah, if y'all didn't know, he hasn't seen any of these questions, so we're doing it in Off the Pad flavor.
True OTP fashion.
That's and, what's up. I'm
if
down.
He stumbles on any questions. And
no, I'm down, man. Shoot. All
right. How many girlfriends do you... No,
that would be zero. Zero. Zero.
That'd be a good answer.
Yeah. That is the answer.
You'll talk about me and Michelle.
Yeah, that is the answer.
You don't
want to
clap for me. Let's start there.
What would you say has been the most significant opportunity or moment in your comedy career?
The most significant opportunity. Wow. That's a. I think it's a lot of different opportunities that have had a lot of different elements of significance. I honestly don't know yet what is the most significant, but I've had a lot of things to play themselves out that has helped me to get to where I am. I mean, I know I'm not really answering your question, but it's really hard to answer that question. Because with me still trying to become a household name, I'm still building. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've had a lot of favors, you know, the Tom Joyner cruise with my man Gary Owen. Gary Owen was the one that got me on the cruise. That was one considered significant.
He was on the special as well, Gary Owen special.
Then the Gary Owen special. Yeah. Gary Owen has created a lot of significant things, like when I performed for Chris Bosh's birthday party.
Okay.
That was Gary Owen. And really, I guess the ultimate shout-out goes to Brad Williams, who's Gary Owen's road manager, because Brad saw me and he asked me if I wanted to perform. He talked with Gary about it. Gary was down for it. So Brad came up with the idea. Gary was on board with the idea, and they provided a lot for me.
Cool. Big OTP shout-out to them.
Yeah. I would say, I guess meeting Gary Owen and riding with him for 2 years is, well, 3 years is my most significant.
That's what's up.
Who has been the most supportive in your comedy career? If you can answer that without making anyone feel underappreciated.
I mean, I can really shout out some people that have come to, you know, my shows religiously. Mm-hmm. But if I started naming them, I would miss some. So I dare not do that. So I really would have to say my biggest supporter has been Richmond.
Okay.
Period.
I like that answer. Fair.
Yeah. I mean, this city has, you know, even when I left and went to L.A., Richmond was, like, when I came back, I didn't feel like people weren't happy I was back.
Like Cleveland did LeBron. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Like
we didn't burn your.
Yeah, well, I left with a parade. You know, LeBron didn't quite leave with a parade.
Yeah.
So it was easier for me to come back. But I would have to say Richmond. But I also just underline, really say, you know, Birmingham. If I was in Birmingham, I really believe Birmingham would do the same thing for me. Okay. If I was still home. Because when I go back home, I did the Stardome. First time I did the Stardome, I headlined Tuesday through Sunday, 9 shows. And in that 1 week, I sold out 4 shows. So basically, in that 1 week, I did almost 5,000 people. Of course, some of them come, whatever. But when people found out who I was, they came. And also preached 3 sermons on that Sunday. At 3 different churches.
What?
I know it sounds crazy, but that is the honest to God truth. I preach at a church.
How long were your sermons?
My first sermon was about 30 minutes. The second was about 45. The last was about 45 minutes.
Word.
I preached from Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he reap. So I preach. You got to put in something if you want to get something out of it.
That's what's up.
So that was, but that was my week in Birmingham. So I know if I was in Birmingham, I know I would have a strong support system.
Or have a church.
Or have a church with a strong support system. Right.
My most support has been my girlfriend Michelle.
This guy.
Commercial break.
We could do this again.
Are you still willing to perform at open mics?
I think open mics is really will always be the cornerstone to a comic's success. You know, developing new material, constantly creating and reinventing your old material. Will I do open mics? Yeah. And, you know, for me, a big stage, I've been on grand big stages, but also the big stage for me right now is more corporations and things of that nature. So I've done several corporations, and those corporations, when I go and do them, I'm trying to come back. So I'm not trying to work on new material. When I be at the Funny Bone now, when I'm there in July, my goal now is to go in July and have 40 new minutes of material. So now I'm back in the open mic circuit. Mm-hmm. And now I'm back on the $200 in DC circuit just to go up there and work on new material. So I will say a lot of my new materials does come from paid gigs, you know, the regular paid gigs, the $100 gig, the $200 gig. I'll go and do that because that gives me 45 minutes and gas money to go and work on new stuff. But you'll still see me at McCormick's. You'll still see me at Bottoms Up if I'm available. I was at McCormick's last week working on new material.
That's what's
Shout out to Open Mic Venues out in Richmond. That's what he's naming.
Yeah. So, I think anytime a comic thinks they're bigger than the open mic, they just started getting worse.
That's a good concept.
Message.
Yeah.
That's a nice OTP quote that we came up with ourselves. We will not credit you. Thanks for doing this interview for free.
Even when you're in L.A., I'll share a story with you.
What's up?
We was in L.A., and it's my first time closing at the Hollywood Improv. So now, for me, this big, this big money right here, baby. You know, it's a Tuesday night, and Tuesday night is star night. So that's when all the stars come out.
Okay.
So the night's going, and in walks Dave Attell. And Dave Attell walks in, and he says he wants to do some time. Mm-hmm. They said, all right. He says, is anyone they said, you want to go last? He was like, no, I don't want to take the guys that's closing spot.
Okay.
Because I guess the owner or whatever said, we got a new guy closing for the, we got a first timer closing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a big deal or not. I don't know. But anyway, he didn't want to take my spot. So he said he was only going to do 15 minutes. Make it long story short, this dude did an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
But it was
David Tell at that.
Yeah. And it was all new material. Mm-hmm. But he crushed. Mm-hmm. I mean, he killed it. So now the manager comes up to me with my check and was like, you know, you ain't really got to worry about going up. You know what I'm saying? He said, let me give you your money. And I looked at him. I was like, nah, I'm going up.
Worry about the time.
I'm like, nah, I'm going up. He said, nah, you sure? And so this comedian to my right was like, man, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, that's disrespectful. I'm like, what do you mean it's disrespectful? What's disrespectful?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, me going in my spot.
Disrespectful? Yeah.
Right. Name that comedian. No, I'm joking.
So, but people was telling me, like, you know, it's Tuesday night, it's Star Night. Dave Attell just went on stage, crushed it, yada, yada, yada. And now you want to go up. So I was like, all right, whatever. So the manager was like, you sure? Like, yeah, I'm sure.
Watch this.
Yeah.
I went on stage.
Watch this.
And I sat down, and people, of course, was getting up and walking out. So I sat down. And I said, for the people that are leaving, I'm going to let y'all leave. For the people that want to stay, just ride with me for the next 20 minutes. I'll make it worth your time. And I sat back, put my hands across my chest. People stopped, turned around, and came back and sat down.
You should have told all of Dave Attell's old jokes.
People came back and sat down, man. And I ended up, I remember my opening line was, first of all, I want to thank Dave Attell for opening for me. That was my opening line.
Yep.
And then that broke the ice. Then from that point, I had him for 20 minutes. But my point to that story is, for me, that was big stuff. For Dave, so there's always that smaller stage to you. Because Dave's doing theaters now. So his open mic is now the comedy clubs. And Dave did pull me to the side when I got outside to the bar. And told me I had more balls than anybody in
this is after.
Yeah. Right, so cool. The show was over with. I walked out, and he said, yo, man, come in. And I walked over. He's like, what's your name? I told him my name. I said, I work with you in Richmond because I work with him at the Funny Bone.
Right.
Snowed like crazy. And he said, I don't remember that, which he did. And but he said, man, you got more balls than anybody in here. He said, I thought I'd mess up your time, and I kind of felt bad about it. He said, but you still went up there. You got more balls than anybody in. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can take this away from me.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Stage time is stage time, man. It's a craft. We love it.
So open mic, still doing. We went through Chicago to get to Petersburg.
Word up. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, you threw me off. I got you. So he went around, long story short kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm thinking like, I went to Chicago to get to Petersburg.
I'm glad you caught that. This dude is dropping jewels.
When did you realize that you wanted to do comedy?
It's, I would have to say, in middle school, I would say about in middle school, man, because I used to always watch the Apollo. And when I would watch the Apollo, I only really cared about one segment. Really two. And that was Showtime, the Amateur Night.
Okay.
And the Comedian.
Okay.
Whoever was the singer, all that stuff, I really didn't care that much about. I just wanted to see the comic. I think early in life. Plus, I noticed that comedians get instant gratification as much as they are good enough to get it. You know, if you're good enough to tell a joke every 10 seconds, you can get instant gratification immediately. So, you know, with all of us comics having low self-esteem, that was the medicine that I knew in the middle school that I wanted to give myself.
I'm not included in that, all of us. Just to let all my supporters
some people don't want to admit they got low self-esteem, which means that they will never heal.
That's why he wears a smiley shirt.
Exactly.
He wears a smiley face shirt because he's not smiling on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
But I would say, man, in middle school. But then when I first started doing it, I'll never forget the first time I did it, walked on stage as a comedian at Reed's Lounge, March 24th. It'll be 19 years next week, 1996.
That's what's up. 19 years?
Next week. Wow. Yep, next Tuesday. So,
I said, "Hmm."
Yeah, so about the first time I walked on stage, the feeling I got, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, now I understand coke addicts. You know what I mean?
That drug.
You keep you chase that first high.
Yeah.
How did you do?
I did good. I did real good. I never forget when I was walking off stage, Ricky dapped me up and was like, Ricky Smiley, it was his night.
This was in Alabama. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Fairfield, Alabama. At a place called Reed's Lounge. And it was Ricky Smiley's coming tonight on Sunday night. Me and my roommate Keith used to always go. And Keith, knew Ricky because they went to high school together. I knew Ricky only through, like, seeing him out. I didn't really know him. And I went and asked him. I was, my roommate was like, you ain't going to go up there. I said, I'm going next week. So I went and asked him. I was like, yo, Ricky, can I go up next week? He was like, yeah, yeah, I got you, I got you. Man, all week, I got my little jokes. I wrote them down, not the whole jokes. I wrote my little jokes down. I'm in the mirror all week long. Cause we didn't have open mics in Birmingham back then. So we didn't have nowhere to, like, go get prepared for something like this. So it hit the main stage. But, man, I never forget that night. That was a good night. And I ripped. I never forget some of my jokes. One joke was the songs that are black and songs that are white. Because when you first start, you always do hacky stuff.
Yeah.
the poop go-to jokes.
Yeah, the poop jokes.
That's the black comedy starter kit right there.
Exactly. But what was one of the jokes? Toni Braxton, she sing white songs. Talking about she ain't going to breathe again. Come on now. No, she said 7 whole days and not a word from you. 7 whole days and I'm just about through. Mm. Just about. You know? If you black, 3 days, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? That was one of my first jokes out the gate. Then I said, then she said she ain't going to breathe again. If you don't call her, she ain't going to breathe again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on now. Can you imagine that? Oh, you ain't going to call me no more? Then I would hang up the phone and I'd be like,
hold your breath.
So, you know, elementary jokes, but people laughed at him. They liked him. Mm-hmm. And I kept going back to Reese Lamp.
Hey, guys, don't judge him off of these jokes he's telling right now. This was 96.
Oh, man. Shoot, I used to kill him back then, though. I used to talk about my cousin that had a stuttering problem. I had an aunt that had 7 kids. They all had stuttering problems. And
we might be related.
Shut up.
Corey stutters.
Corey does not stutter. Me and Corey went through this the very first time I ever met Corey. That's a sympathy trick. Man, don't nobody care about it. But I said, yeah, I had 7 aunts, and finally she had a son that didn't speak, and everybody in the family was happy because he couldn't stutter. But he stuttered he stuttered in sign language.
That's funny.
And then I used to do, like, the little sign language. Something like that. My first jokes out the gate. I never forget them.
And 19 years later, you still with it.
19 years later, still working on that first one. Yeah, but 19 years later, I'm still with it, man. You know, it's a blessing. I think in this business, you got to understand that comedy is not the reason you do comedy. And I think too many comedians think that that is the reason, you know, you do comedy. But I think once you realize the grand purpose of your life, because life is greater than comedy. Comedy is a tool that brings people into your space. And the reason they're in your space isn't as minute as comedy.
Another message.
Yeah, I got to sit down on that one. Got to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep it at comedy, you're going to remain frustrated. You're going to miss what the grand picture is. So once I got to about 13, 14 years, I started noticing that there's a greater picture than just comedy. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, there's no way I can get bitter. There's no way I can not say I missed an opportunity. Because those things to me ain't the end-all, be-all. Do I still want them? Yeah, absolutely. I still go after what my dreams are. But I also watch the bigger picture unfold, you know, and I watch how comedy is being used to unfold the bigger picture.
Yeah, and when it comes to the bigger picture, man, if there's anybody that I know that's in a comedy, you definitely have a bigger picture that's not just about stand-up. You got a couple things. You got a lot of things going on. I call you Mr. Richmond.
I ain't getting paid like it. Go ahead.
I mean, but you got your hands on, like, so many things. First of all, you have the company, RV Has Talent, which is...
Got the company going. That was a dream that I wanted to use to kind of help other local comedians, musicians, just artists, period, to raise the value of each other. You know, one thing that I think artists fail to realize in a market like Richmond or any other metropolitan market is everybody... collectively is the value of that market for that art.
Okay.
So if everybody's accepting $100, then the value of that art in that market is $100. Mm-hmm. So how do you help people? I'm not saying that $100 shows aren't what people deserve. Some people that are just starting or it's what some people can't afford. Some bars can't pay but $100, mm-hmm. you know, for the money that comes in, but it gives us space to work. So I'm not dissing $100 shows, but I think there has to be an accountability for the bar being raised financially. You know, if you want to do comedy for a living, you shouldn't have to leave where you live to make a living at what you want to do.
Understood. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it takes everybody as a group working to build that. Mm-hmm. And once you do it, so that's why I created RBS Talent. If I can put a bunch of artists on one brand, help raise them, first of all, create an incredible brand where the value is in the brand, not in who the artist is.
Understood.
And then now you got shows that are going on where I can pay Corey Marsh or Jaye to come in and make $700 a pop. Mm-hmm. And now when they walk away, they're starting to realize, well, no, I'm, you know, somebody asks you, hey, I got a $100 show. No, I don't do $100 no more.
Understood.
So, but you can say, I don't do $100 no more, but I do know somebody else that does do $100 right now.
Gotcha.
And that's how you're able to get back to that person and help that cycle, help him get better so he can win. And the cycle continues, but it's a collective effort. So that's why I created RBA His Talent.
And also, it's a great platform for artists, man. I don't know what season you're on now, but I remember the first
season.
Going into season three. Mm-hmm. For the first season when I started attending, I did not know that Richmond had that grand quality talent.
Yeah.
That was presented.
Yeah.
And also, I got a chance to witness Amira.
Yep. she was just on The Voice.
She was just on The Voice, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, wow, I had no idea, like, this person was even here with that much talent.
I mean, and even if you look at, this girl wasn't a part of RVA Has Talent, but there's a young lady who was a part of Raw Artists when we had that event here in Richmond at the Hip. She's now in the top 11 for American Idol.
That's what's up.
Richmond.
Yeah. Word.
You know, so also what helped me realize that about Richmond, when I went out to L.A., man, there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are very good. But a lot of them are very mediocre.
Understood.
It's way more mediocre than it is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And everything's cookie cutter. You know, everybody's like, I never forgot when I first went out there, I've been doing comedy 13 years at the time. And I find myself trying to be like them because everybody was the same.
Yeah.
It's more talented people back in Richmond, mm-hmm. percentage-wise, than it is here.
Understood.
So I was like, man, you know, if everybody in Richmond can't get to L.A., everybody in Richmond can't get to New York, but everybody in Richmond that's an artist deserves to be able to make a living off of what they want to do. So how do we create that?
Understood. Thank you for providing that platform. And if you want to get more information, where can we go on that website?
RVAHasTalent.com. If you are up in D.C., we're launching in D.C. next month, DMVHasTalent.org. And actually, we get the website.com popping up. I just bought it. I got it in an auction. So DMVHasTalent.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all the social media sites, at RVAHasTalent or at DMVHasTalent.
Boom.
What do you do when you are not performing comedy?
It's a loaded question. Primarily, I'm a community guy, so I do a lot of community stuff. Like you saw me when y'all came in, I was meeting with TEDx, RVA, which I'm going to do a speech about my jail program that I do, where I help inmates hone their talents. And also help inmates write business plans. But
the
really,
talent's like making shanks.
Now, look, today we going to do cotton candy into a knife. But I help them, you know, write business plans and things of that nature.
Up. So productive, that's what's up.
Yeah. So last week I had a chance to speak on a panel with Dr. Wyatt T. Walker, who was Martin Luther King's chief of staff. Mm-hmm. So doing things like that. You know, I just got a call today to speak at the firefighters convention. Last Friday, I was speaking at Highland Springs High School to the seniors. I can go on and on.
I thought he was going to say, like, drawing.
No.
Or are you drawing or watching TV? He's, like, still being productive. Like, in his.
Oh, no, nah, man.
Right. Reading a book or.
yeah.
My day, man. Every day I want to do a video of my day, mm-hmm. and, like, put it out there, but I'm too busy to do a video of my day.
Gotcha.
And so it's kind of, that's how busy I am. Mm-hmm. I normally start at 7:00 in the morning. I come in here, I work out here at the office. After I get through working out, I read. Then after I read, I meditate. After I meditate, I shower. After I shower, I pray. Then after I pray, I start to work, and I try to be at work by 10:00. In the evenings, I'm now part of a band. I'm the lead singer in a band now.
Okay.
this guy.
So, yeah. So
are there two of you?
I wish there was, man.
I seen you play the bass the other day. Usually it was the piano.
Yeah, playing the bass. I mean, entertainment-wise, dude, I've always loved all elements of entertainment. I started playing trumpet when I was 7.
So you jump on the drums one time?
I love entertainment, but comedy is just, again, it gives me the most feedback, mm-hmm. you know. And dealing with a band, I mean, I love everybody in the band that I'm in, but you're dealing with 8 other people. Mm-hmm. So they got to be on time. They got to be ready to work. They got to want to go hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just, when the check come, I got to split it.
I follow.
Yeah, before. I keep the check. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but it's something I want to do. It's a bucket list thing, and also I'm very serious about it. So I just want to do it. Am I a great singer? No. Can I hold a note and dance around and make you enjoy yourself? I feel like I can do that.
Are you a good entertainer? You will be entertained.
That's it. Entertainment. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what
I saw some videos. It was probably on Facebook or YouTube or something. You jumping on the table.
Man.
While you're singing.
Was that the Unplugged?
That was the Unplugged, man. Y'all got to see what happened last week at Unplugged.
I missed that one.
Man. It was something special. Yeah.
Where can we find that video at?
Yeah. It was so bad or so good that Precious did comedy for the first time at Open Mic.
You can't say Presco. They don't know who Precious is.
Oh, Precious is a new comedian in the Richmond area. Okay. She's not the Precious that y'all might think about.
Yeah.
People say Precious. That's so bad that the word Precious has been tainted. How can you taint the word Precious? You know what I mean?
Nobody wants to be Precious anymore.
That's unfortunate.
It's like, she's Precious. No, she ain't.
No, she ain't. Better say her middle name.
But her friend or somebody, she was like, "Do you have a video from Friday? I need to show my friend how she looks so she'll know what we're trying to tell her."
Wow.
It's like that. All right, so is the video available online so we can go watch it?
I got to look back at it, but it is absolutely hilarious.
We're not promoting that you go out and get drunk at this Unplugged event and then do something that you're not going to remember.
Man.
Okay?
If
it happens, we might record
I'll say this. It was extra. It was out there, but it was tasteful. It wasn't.
All right.
Maybe tasteful ain't the word. It wasn't. If your mama show up, she'd be like, turn it off. It wouldn't be.
I got you.
Yeah.
Nothing graphic.
Nothing extremely graphic.
All right.
But
wow.
But it was graphic. Just one extremely
very,
graphic.
Very gesture-ish, if you know what I mean.
Are you a sports fan? If so, who are your favorite teams?
Pittsburgh Steelers is my football team. Shout out to the Steelers. Atlanta Braves.
Our Redskins.
Go team, go.
Who asked who the question?
No, I'm just
saying. And Boston Celtics is my basketball team. And I also like the Dodgers.
You got a hodgepodge group of teams, so you're not really like a...
One from Birmingham and Richmond.
I don't even know if Corey understands. To different sports, Corey.
We don't have...
He went to NFL.
Boston Celtics.
NBA.
I mean, but he said Birmingham and Richmond. I know Boston is.
But my point is there are no professional teams in neither one. So I get to pick what I want to pick.
So Birmingham doesn't have a professional team?
Birmingham Barons.
What is that?
Like the Richmond Squirrels.
Nothing.
Like the Flying Squirrels.
So I
don't say it ain't
them.
Nothing. It's something. We had Michael Jordan. We had Jordan for a year. What?
The Squirrels had Jordan?
No.
No, fool.
The Birmingham Barons. We had Jordan. I saw Jordan play baseball, literally.
But you know what he did in MLB?
What?
Nothing. He played.
You don't have to. He's Jordan.
All right.
Come on. Now, Pacquiao's playing basketball over in the Philippines. Did you know this?
And he's singing.
So when you're famous, you do what you want to do.
And he was a politician.
You do what you want to do.
He was like
when
a governor.
Money is power. So if Jordan want to play baseball, guess what? He's going to play baseball. Mm-hmm. So that's how that went. But so that's why I got all them teams, man. The reason I'm a Celtics fan is because when I was in high school, my first starter jacket was a Celtics starter jacket. My Aunt Joyce bought it for me for Christmas, and that made me a Celtics fan. So from the ninth grade, I was a Celtics fan. The reason I'm a Braves fan is because the very first World Series I watched, which was in 92, the Braves won.
Hold up. The Atlanta Braves.
Boom. Yes. Yes, the Atlanta Braves.
Right. I'm not into sports, so it's just like, you know.
Oh, my God. You're not in the sports. He's celebrating 1 year with Michelle. Oh, my. How did I get in this situation? And then the reason I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, because my homeboy, Vitell Dixon, took me to a Pittsburgh Steelers game, and I met – we stayed with James Ferrier, who's the middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. Me and James became real cool, so there was no way I couldn't be a Pittsburgh fan.
Right.
If you were able to admit it, what was the worst mistake you've made as a comic?
Wow. I've made many mistakes that I think makes me – one mistake was asking for money too soon and trying to be in places that I knew eventually I would be capable of being in, mm-hmm. but wasn't really ready to be there when I was trying to get there.
Okay.
that was one mistake, because when you do that, you know, there's a lot of seasoned artists and seasoned comedians out there that feel like you're disrespecting their work. You know, like, we've worked to be here and you're trying to take my work and you just started 3 months ago, you know.
But I'm ready. I can do it.
And but also the flip side to that is when I see another young comic doing the same thing, I understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I don't look at that comic and judge that comic and be like, oh my God, you so stupid, you so this. I get it.
Yeah, I think we've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it. And at the same time, if you have a burning desire for something, that's almost natural to try to just get everything you want. And you don't know you're disrespecting because you don't even know how to respect the game.
True.
You know what I mean? Right. So how can you expect somebody to do something they don't know how to do? But I think as comics, when you get older in the game, school comics about that and let them know, you know, because here's the worst thing you can do. If I never got any of those jobs I was after, I just pissed off a lot of comedians. But if I had gotten one of those jobs that I was after, I wasn't ready for it. Of course I would have got fired. I wouldn't have been successful because I didn't know how to be successful. And when I would have went back for it, the value that I would have been perceived as was the same value they saw me at in the beginning.
Yeah. Right.
So thank God I didn't get what I was trying to get because when I was ready for it, I was really ready for it. You know, you own yourself. And if you don't earn it, then you don't own it. So you got to earn it.
What advice can you give to new and upcoming comics?
I think the top three rules is, one, for me, this is my advice to you.
Michael Bam Bam White.
Yeah, I mean, everybody might have different advice. My advice to you is,
if it's good, it came from Jai Toller.
Right. My advice to you is, one, understand that your talent's not your talent. Your talent is God's talent. So for that, if you're going to choose to do it better than you would do it for yourself. Because you ain't doing it for yourself. And if you do it better than you can do it for yourself, what your dreams are is going to be greater than you can even perceive. Because now you're giving it to God, and what God can do with it is greater than anything you can do with it by yourself. So I think that is the number one thing.
Yeah, that came from Jai Toller, definitely.
The second thing I think is very important is love people while you're doing it. Because the greatest influence of your art is people.
Okay.
So if people is the greatest influence of your art, you have to love them. That's the only way you're going to be able to benefit from it. If you don't love the people that you're performing for, the ones you don't know, but just love people in general, how can you expect to get something good out of something when what you depend on to get it, you don't like?
I don't care if they laugh. These are my jokes.
Exactly.
I'm going to do this all for me. If they laugh or not, whatever.
So you got to love people. You know, I think one thing I love that I see about my comedy is after I get off stage, people seem like they know me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I was some comedian that's far distant. People feel like, yo, that's Bam. When I see people in the store, hey, you know, because I love people. So it's easy for me to talk to people. It's easy for me to hug a person. It's easy for me to speak to a person. It's easy for me to act like I know a person I've never seen a day in my life because of that. So that's number two. Number three is stay on stage. Just work, 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 work. Stay on stage, stay on stage, stay on stage, stay on stage. And really, that's a 3A and a 3B. Stay on stage because it takes 10,000 hours to become a professional than anything. So, and to put that in perspective, if you're working...
I was about to say, he's just dropping stuff. Like, it takes 10,000 hours? Is that a statistic written on the wall?
No, it is a true psychological fact. It takes 10,000 hours to make something such a habit that you can be considered a pro at it.
Okay.
So, if it takes 10,000 hours to become a professional at anything... To put that in perspective, if you had an 8-hour job a week, if you work 40 hours a week, it would take you almost 6 years to get to 10,000 hours. In comedy, you're getting 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you're trying to work up to get 20 minutes, 30 minutes, then an hour. So think about how long it would take for you to get to 10,000 hours. You got to work your butt off. Mm-hmm.
60 years.
Unless you stay on stage, it would take a while. Yeah, take quite some time. But I guess the 3A and 3B is... The 3B is you also have to spend time off stage, because I tell comics all the time, what keeps you on stage is not what you do on stage, it's what you do when you're off stage.
Okay.
You know, the preparation, the writing counts towards the 10,000 hours.
Right.
The watching other comics and studying what they do takes that's the 10,000 hours. If I go sit at an open mic, and sometimes I can be in my phone, and people be up performing, and they don't know the reason I'm in my phone because I don't want to be distracted by anything because I want to listen to what they got to say. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to see them. I want to hear them. So my phone keeps me occupied while I listen.
So it's a decoy.
It's total decoy, okay. So I can listen. But I'm not sitting at an open mic not learning. If I hear, I can, man, I listen to young comics all the time, and I learn all the time, every time. It don't matter who it is. Somebody say something. Somebody get, so always be a student. If you're going to be in an environment of comedy, study. You know, and get your 10,000 hours. So that'd be my last thing. Get your 10,000 hours. That's number three. Not stay on stage only, but in the body of comedy, get your 10,000 hours.
That's what's up. That's a common thread, man. Whenever we ask somebody to always give different advice, but one of the things they always say is keep getting up.
Oh, you have to. Yeah you got to stay on stage, man.
That's the common thread with everybody.
Yeah, you got to stay up there.
So as long as you new comics, I'll take my advice on these three tips that I just gave
there. Snake Row is stealing in front of my face.
I don't steal jokes, but I'll steal quotes.
That's what's up. We all steal quotes. We all steal those.
Speed Topics. Would you prefer life in prison or to be executed?
Dang. I think it depends on which prison. If it's like penitentiary, like in Oz, execute me.
I haven't seen Oz, so I don't know what that penitentiary is
like. Oh, yeah. If it's I don't know,
Oz. Have you ever been in jail, Mike? Micah?
Is that, hold on. That's not the question.
Am I supposed to ask? I know that's not the question. You ever been in jail, Corey?
Does this nigga work for TMZ?
You do a background check.
Man, you got to get the good stuff.
Off the pad, not off the record.
Don't leave it. Go straight to Richmond International Airport.
He's like,
straight to LA. I got
couch waiting for us outside.
I got something I want. Watch
this. As soon as we step outside.
They'll be like, Michael White, you ever been to jail? Yes. They're going to be like, who the hell is Michael White?
He just said he has corporate gigs. He has corporate sponsors and everything. It's like that. He's like, yeah, man, I've done a hard time. It's just like, look at all his sponsorship. It's just.
My God. That's funny. But yeah.
But yeah, I've been.
No. I've never spent the night in jail. I have been to jail. But I never spent the night in jail.
You say you work with prisoners and all
I
that.
I do work with prisoners, so but see, I do. I, now, then I'm in and out.
I think I asked the wrong question.
Put it this way. I've never been in cuffs.
I think I should have asked, have you had any insight or experience or been able to observe? You have had observations of what prison life is like.
Yes, I have. Yes.
And same for you, Corey. That's all I'm asking. Corey, just
that's
stay
not, I want to go with the original question. Would you prefer execution or life in prison?
Well, that's why I asked, because if you haven't experienced or observed it, how do you know that you'd rather the other one?
All right, well, let me ask this. Would you rather jump off a bridge or jump off a building?
Probably a bridge. But
well, I mean, why? Have you ever experienced jumping off a bridge or a building?
I see your point.
Yeah. Like, you
I see what you're saying, though, because
I don't have to experience the outcome, you know what I'm saying?
You know it's piranhas in the water off the bridge, you might as well jump off the building. That way, at impact, you dead.
But either way, you don't. I don't want to experience it.
No, neither way. I'm good, too. But jail or execution or jail, I'm going to have to go with jail.
Life in prison?
Life in prison, yeah.
Okay. I'm going with life in prison, too. Well, see, that's why, because I don't know if it's different on the Oz or whatever. That was the real it's reason why I started prison, asking that man. Question.
Right now, I say that right now, because you know what? What I don't want to go too crazy off the deep end, but death might be an actual better release than spending. But I just think, you know, I think if you always have your mind and you can think, you can always create things.
Your own reality,
yeah,
your own world,
so,
and stuff like that.
I feel like if you go to jail, there's still a way out, regardless of what the circumstances
are. That's my thinking. And yeah. I agree with that. I mean, maybe.
But it's hard to think that when you're in prison, man, because you got to be almost crazy.
I read a news story the other day about this dude spent 29 years in jail because he was falsely put in jail, and they found some DNA stuff and they released him. So for me, it's like, all right, you give me life. Maybe y'all see that I ain't do it, mm-hmm. and I'll be out in 30 years.
Man,
as long as I live.
You're about the dude in Texas that was in jail for life and had a kid. Then they let him out. And when they let him out, They took him back to jail because he was no, he was 18 years behind on his child support.
Shut up.
I'm not making this up. It's real talk. This is a real story.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's behind on his child support because he obviously because he was locked up. Yeah, Texas, man. They tell you, don't mess with
dirty,
Texas, player.
That's dirty.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's sad, but yeah. that's hilarious.
That's real talk. Google it. You know, you can always find a lie or the truth by Google. So Google it.
So, Corey, you say death.
Execute. Corey. It depends on the prison. Execute. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I stick by it. Give me liberty or give me death. Depends on what I'm in for, too. You know what I'm saying? Something depends on what it is.
You gave a whole lot of variables.
Yeah, but.
So what is it? Death.
Execute.
All right. What if the execute? It doesn't depend on execution. What if you like stoned, or well, like just different. Beat I mean, with a whip?
If it was like 1600s, I mean, yeah, I mean.
Well, yeah, just like you said, it depends on the prison. Why would it not depend on the execution? Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do. Answers to the same. Execute me. Because if you're at a prison where you're gonna get stoned to death for execution, imagine what they're gonna do to you when you got life in prison. If that's the way they kill you.
I don't know what they would do. I can't imagine
it's horrible. You know what I'm saying?
But I know I wouldn't be dead after 30 stones.
Yeah, at this prison, we stone people to death. I mean, that's not
Yo,
civil.
Yo, did you see the joint over in ISIS? Burn the guy alive on camera.
I won't see that video.
Well, I know. The thought of it, though, will always be in your head. But, yeah, he was a pilot.
The pilot. Yeah. I didn't see the video, but I heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. I wish I would have never seen it because it's something you'll never be able
to watch. Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like watching. Like anytime I have like executions online, I never watch those. You know?
I can't even watch people getting beat up real bad. I don't even like watching fights.
Yeah, especially like head injuries like that, or something like that.
I can't even stand to watch somebody get bombed on stage. You know what I mean? Better yet.
Oh, I was like, bomb? I thought you were watching?
I hate to watch people explode in the streets. That's a natural occurrence in Richmond.
Right. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
And people popping all over the damn place.
All right, I got you.
Execution.
We heard you, Corey.
So we got execution, execution. And what was your vote, Jaye?
Life in prison.
Life in prison. So I'm
life in prison.
I'm right now life in prison, teetering execution, and you straight life in prison.
I'm straight life in prison.
All right, I'm the middleman. Here I am.
The blurred lines between flattery and plagiarism.
If I hear someone... I'm guessing this is geared towards comedians or probably any art. If you're taking something from someone else,
okay,
and it's like it's flattering. Oh, they like my stuff so much that they're using it, or is it like bold out plagiarism? That's what I'm getting from this.
Well,
question.
I think there's a way to do both. I think you know when you're on stage as a comedian, when you're on stage, you without intentionally knowing what you're doing, I don't think you should say anybody else's joke. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think we had this thing called parallel thinking. I've been involved in that a lot. You stay in comedy, you will get involved in that, which is the reason I get away from the hack jokes, because that is the way to continuously bang heads with parallel thinking. Mm-hmm. You talk about weed jokes. You can come up with the most clever stuff, and then one day you hear somebody else say it, and you know, what are you doing? But anyway, I digress. So I think, you know, flattery is when you tell somebody else's joke off stage and introduce it as this comedian said.
Okay.
You dig what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I can talk about Corey's funny show. I can say, yo, Corey Marshall got a barbecue joke that goes like so-and-so, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. But I would never go on stage and be like, let me tell y'all Corey Marshall barbecue joke.
I mean, that's still making flattery.
It is.
But if you say, let me go on stage and tell Corey Marshall barbecue joke.
At that moment, I'm getting paid to perform. I shouldn't be getting paid to tell your jokes, whether I announce your name or not.
I think as long as you get the person credit, you cool.
On stage?
Yeah. Anywhere.
Your 40-minute set.
You can do my 45-minute set.
And as long as I say in the beginning, hey, let me ask
you this question then. Is it cool for a comedian to just start off and go on stage, first open mic, and be like, Jaye's joke is yada, 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 yada. Corey's joke is yada, 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 yada.
Yes.
And then Bam's joke is, hit it, bud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they walk out. He walk off. I was just three comedians. God bless y'all. And they walk off. Is that flattery?
Yeah, it's flattery. He gave me credit. And everybody knows that the joke didn't come from him.
Are impersonations not acceptable?
Impersonations that are verbatim to the words that the person they're impersonating is saying. If it's a comedian, yes. If it's not a comedian, no. So if I impersonate singing like Rick James, no, that's a characterization joke. Rick James is not a comedian, and you are in this character, so it is a piece of art. You're acting as someone. If I act like Bernie Mac and tell Bernie Mac's joke,
I follow you. Okay.
Yes, you're in violation. If I'm a comedian, if I'm Michael Bam Bam White, if you Corey Marshall, if you Jaya Tola, you don't want another comedian going around doing you. Because you're still doing what you do. And you don't want that comedian is portraying an image of who you are on stage. They don't have that right.
I would be honored.
I don't think I would be honored either. Because what if they mess up and now everybody that you just portrayed as me don't like me?
Hopefully they know it's not me. I mean, if somebody's on stage acting like me, I'm like, okay, well, I'm honored that this guy thinks of me enough to want to copy me. You know what I'm saying? And then hopefully people will, let me go check out Corey Marshall. But oh, wow, Corey Marshall, this is pretty dope.
You don't see how people could get the opposite effect? They see them and then they was like, all right, well, I don't want to see Corey now.
I want to be somewhat an influence in somebody's life that people want to be like me. That means I'm good. I'm doing pretty good.
I think everything is subjective. You know,
that's the blurred line.
Like, as long as they don't do it on television before I get there, that's a whole different story. You know what I'm saying?
So now you're putting parameters. But what if they got them the TV spot? That's the point.
Am I still getting the credit?
Yeah, they don't mind. They're gonna get on.
I don't mind.
So now you don't mind again.
So you don't mind.
As long as I get the credit, as long as they know where it came from, I'm cool.
So if somebody thinks, man, they do a better Corey Marshall than Corey Marshall. I mean, now they making money off you that you ain't going to never get because they don't need you to be Corey Marshall. They got somebody else to be Corey Marshall.
And now they going to pay you for you to tell
to write them jokes.
Yeah.
We need for you to write them jokes.
What would you say?
Yeah. I would still be honored.
Nah, bull crap. You dream bigger than that. I would be honored. Than that, and you're more valuable than that.
Nah, but here's the thing. It's just like, okay, I'm not going to let that get to me because that's the only thing I have.
No, you can't let it get to you.
Because if somebody's taking my material, then okay, well, take that. I got a wealth of other stuff that I can use. I'm that creative where I can create other stuff, a whole wealth of content with that little bit that you taking and taking credit for or whatever. It ain't going to bother me.
April 29th, Rich and Funny Bone, a half Jaya, half Corey Marshall.
Jaya as
Corey Marshall.
Corey Michael Bam Bam.
Keeping money hidden from your spouse.
I don't know where I stand on it. I think it depends on the spouse. If you got a spouse that's very bad with money and you need to keep it from them, then by all means, do it.
I say divorce.
Or if you bad with money and you know your spouse ain't going to let you have it, I think you still should keep it.
That's funny.
Either way, you should keep a hidden stash of money somewhere.
It's backup money. It's backup money.
I disagree with both you gentlemen. I have 100% open communication and everything with my woman. And when we get married, she's going to know all the money I have. And that's fine with me.
But you know what? I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. Like, if my spouse had a hidden bank account, had hidden funds, as long as we're not struggling and we need the money, you know what I'm saying? And I'm doing extra stuff to make things meet and she got like a big bank account somewhere and she's not using it, then I'd be upset.
Okay.
You know what?
But as long as if everything's flowing, if everything's working, I don't care what she has.
Yeah, all right. So I let me take a little bit back of what I just said. No, she doesn't have to know.
No,
hold on.
I see what you're doing.
She doesn't have
Corey,
to know.
Now
it's okay to take stuff back. Hey, is this?
Now I know why his girl was in the joint buying a strap on the other day. Now I know who's doing who. Now it all makes sense. Yeah.
Don't put her out there or me out there.
That's why he got
the smile. Oh, no, she got the power. That's the point I'm making. Now we know who got the power.
Absolutely not. No, the thing is, I don't mind. I don't think either one of us would mind if we had other accounts. She doesn't have to know how much money I have in it, and I don't have to know how much money she has in her account. Mm-hmm. But the fact that those accounts exist wouldn't be secret. It's like, hey, we have our joint account. Then I got my own money over here, and we have our joint account. She has her own money over there. We don't have to know how much is in each other's as long as all our bills are taken.
But
care
do
of.
You do you realistically think that? That information would not be disclosed.
I wouldn't mind it. I don't have to keep it secret.
You'd be upset? No. If you find out? Like, no. All right, what if you found out? Like, if you found out your spouse had a secret account and she had money
in. Yeah, that's what I would have a problem with. And I wouldn't have a problem with it. That's what I would expect her to have a problem with me. It's like, hey, babe, we got our joint account and I have this other account. She'd be like, all right, cool. As long as all the money that is needed to provide for our house and family is in our joint account, then it doesn't matter how much I have in this account, and I'm sure she would agree with that.
I figure as long as we ain't struggling, shouldn't nobody fuss.
Yeah.
Why are you complaining? Everything.
But if you're struggling.
Yeah. You need to. You should have said something.
But why do you have to that's keep your head?
Be, you walk in, you hear trying to say his birthday, 19, 20, 25. Ah, that didn't work. What's his mama last name? Miss Jones. Ah, that didn't work. She even there trying
I'm
to
trying get in there.
You know yeah.
I think this conversation is the reason why me and my woman will get married soon. Michael Batman White, you haven't been married, and Corey, you've been divorced.
I've been divorced. But I also didn't have a secret bank account.
Hey, which means there's two smart people sitting here.
Exactly.
And somebody about to run into this brick wall that we're trying to do. You don't want to do that.
Yeah,
no, I'm just playing.
I've been there, and I know for sure. You know what I'm saying?
I want to be married one day. I always said that, and I really mean that. But, you know, finding somebody to marry and spend the rest of your life with, that's shoot.
It's tough.
Man, you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
I mean, the act of it itself is hard. Finding the person, though, is like, and I think what happened is you just get so tired of looking. You're like,
you fine.
Come on, this chick right here. We're let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you jump into it, and then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, you be Corey Marshall.
That's what's up.
Hiding accounts, man, just seems sneaky, man. Just don't do it. No.
Not being able to go to Walmart and only buy one thing.
It's hard just going there and get one. Well, it depends on what you're trying to do. And I think if you just lollygagging, if you don't have a focus on what you're trying to do, when you get in Walmart, you can't get lost.
Look.
That's a girl
I
answer.
Think when you go in Walmart, you need to call them ahead of time and say, how much does a stick of deodorant cost? They're going to say $2.83 with tax. You
just
need to walk in there with $2.84 in case you drop a penny. And that is all you need to walk in Walmart with. Because if you walk in Walmart with any more money than what you just in there to buy, for some reason, there's something about them damn smiley faces and them sevens on the price that make you think you can buy everything in there.
Aww,
I can see that.
The smiley faces.
I'm
the rollback stickers.
That seven is what get me, man. I'm like, oh, seven. It ain't even a nine. It's a seven. I can get that.
It's on sale.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, you'd have spent $14,000 on clothes hangers and linen that you ain't going to never use. I mean, it's Walmart. And
you get your eyeglasses.
The thing about Walmart is most of the stuff you get, if it ain't in the food section, you don't use it.
True. Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
Not all of it. But most of the stuff you get from Walmart, let's think about some of the things we get from Walmart. We get little knick-knack stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like one time I went in and bought a foot massager. Freak, I do that.
That's random, though.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I do that? One time I went in and bought.
I actually used my foot massager.
Man, I bought, when I owned my house, I bought paint. Like I was going to paint that house. You know what I mean? It was a good idea. It felt good. I felt like I really was going to do it when I was in Walmart. Then I got home and realized I really have to do it. Nah, I'm good. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, man. You just buy stuff you don't use.
I think for a couple of these topics, I was on the same side with you, Bam. But these last couple, I'm not. Y'all on the same side. I go to Walmart for what I intend to go to Walmart for. I don't just see stuff and then just buy it. If I want to go in there for deodorant and a pack of bologna, then I walk out with deodorant and a pack of bologna.
Hold on.
This Negro don't want his girl to know he got an extra account. Maybe you need to start checking his trunk every time he get home. This little bull crap he talking about.
And his shopping list because he's buying deodorant and bologna.
Yeah, well,
see, that's some kind
of
combination.
I'd be
out
of food on the same day.
Making
I had
sandwiches.
Extra sweat. I don't know.
You can overheat it making sandwiches or something? Is
no, if you forget to put the deodorant on, he can blame the smell on the bologna.
Well, maybe it's different for me because I live two blocks from Walmart.
Okay.
So I don't have to have like big shopping lists. I drive and it's open 24 hours. So I just get what I need at that time. And so maybe that's what makes a difference for me and other Walmart shoppers. I don't know.
You live in a bad neighborhood.
I actually live in a very good neighborhood.
Okay.
Next to a bad neighborhood.
Next to a bad neighborhood. Yes, because you two blocks from Walmart, everything two blocks from Walmart ain't good.
I live right next to Chesterfield.
The only good thing two blocks from a Walmart is a Sweet Frog. And that's about it.
That police station.
And that, yeah, and that, yeah.
Married men who date other women.
It's a two-sided feeling for me.
Who date other women.
Already.
It's a two-sided feeling. If you got a woman that's treating you right, doing right, and will go to the end of the world for you, I think you need to stay with what you got because you're going to reap what you sow. I just talked about, I preached about that earlier. But if there is no happiness at the crib, I think you should first get a divorce and work on the divorce. If for whatever reason...
So work on the divorce instead of work on your marriage?
Huh? No, I'm assuming... I'm assuming at this point the marriage has been over and over again tried to be worked on and it ain't working.
Okay. Let's work on this.
So now you're out.
So
you know
preface that.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
If your wife messes up, just start a divorce.
No sabotaging the relationship is over. So I think if you do that, I think you should... I definitely think she work on the divorce, but if I got a homeboy, which I've had a homeboy who's just absolutely miserable in his relationship.
I think we all have somebody in that relationship.
Well, it wasn't his fault that he was miserable.
Okay.
You know, I think a lot of guys, let's be real, we create our own misery. We lie, we cheat, we hang out late, we drive the chick crazy. You know what I mean?
He doesn't mean me when he says we.
Come on, men, period, man. Come on, dog. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't have no act right.
And this has been
us.
Our podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's in my future.
It ain't that we don't have act right in us. I'm not saying every man's a cheater because every man's not a cheater.
Understood.
But at the same time, we got to decipher between is she just crazy or did we drive her crazy?
Right, right.
Understood. Yeah. Did I play a part in this unhappiness?
Yeah, exactly. But. And if you're honest with yourself and you say yeah, then yeah, you should work on it. If you're honest with yourself and the real answer is no, you need to be out. You deserve to be happy. So. Deuces.
I think it depends on the couple. I'm not an advocate of dating outside your marriage. But I mean, that's all in their marriage. Some couples don't mind it. Some people have open relationships.
If you got an open relationship and that's what y'all do, that's what y'all do. I don't judge nobody. You know, do you?
I'm not for it, but I'm saying.
That ain't my thing. But yeah. No, if that's what you do, do it. You know? But again, if I can't get a divorce from you and Susie Q come around, and I know Susie Q is dope, I can't put on hold.
All right, but hold up. So, all right, let's just say this. Let's say you're married, and your wife doesn't like dating. So you go on dates with other women. Not saying you're cheating. You're not cheating. You're not sleeping with women.
Just take them to dinner.
You're just going out, spending time with them, but it's a female.
Mm-hmm. Because your wife doesn't like
Because your wife doesn't like going out.
No.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. If I didn't like going out and my wife wanted to do that and that's what's going to keep her happy and I could trust her to the point to where she's just going out with these guys.
Oh, so you switch that as far as she's going out. That's a good point.
I mean, I would have to look at it that way. Okay. You know, I wouldn't mind it. I'd be like, okay, I want to go out. But me, I want to go out. Mm-hmm. So that would never be my problem.
I would have a problem with my wife doing that.
But you would do it.
I would have a problem with her not allowing me doing that. I would never do that, no.
Yeah, no. You know, y'all know my answer. My answer is simple.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think nobody should cheat, boyfriend, girlfriend, or married.
We didn't say cheat. We said date other women.
Whatever.
Jaya is so nervous about this conversation right now.
Let's go back to taxes. Let's talk about taxes.
Ain't no nerves. Shut up. I hate y'all guys. But say, why was the question married men date other women? Why couldn't it be married women who date other men? I like how Bam approached that when he responded, because don't make it so one sided, lady. Mm-hmm. Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine.
Why do people encourage those who cannot sing?
I guess they look at it from the point you can't boom.
What would be the point?
Yeah, they're still gonna sing.
I mean, one of the biggest downloads on whatchamacallit was the dude off of American Idol that couldn't sing at all.
The Asian guy?
Yeah, the Asian guy. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So just because you can't sing don't mean you can't be successful.
He ain't doing nothing after that.
Huh?
He ain't do nothing after that. He had a lot of endorsements.
He had some endorsements. Yeah, man.
But I mean, he has capitalized more off of not being able to sing than most people have capitalized off of being able to sing.
That's true.
Yeah, and there are like 5 billion people who can't sing, so shouldn't aspire to that one dude.
My point is, encouragement makes you believe something, and if you believe something, it has no other way but to happen. So if I encourage somebody that can't sing that they can, and I make them believe they can sing, and they believe it, can't nobody tell them they can't sing? And something's going to happen. The way the universe works, something is going to happen to where they're going to become successful off of not being able to sing because they believe they could be successful. And that's just the way the universe works. There's no way around it.
Sounds deep.
It's real. That's reality. So that's why people encourage people that presumably can't do something.
I say because you can't, boom.
I say if you tried a few times, enough time that I would reasonably give a fair evaluation and you can't sing, I'm going to tell you stop and find another talent. Because that ain't your talent. God didn't give you this talent. So, you want it to be your talent, and you suck at it.
So let's say, yeah, church, and somebody sing a song. You would say it to somebody, hold on, stop. You suck. God did not tell you to sing that song.
I wouldn't interrupt the church, but if I had my own church, I wouldn't bring that person over to sing a solo. And I'm thankful that the church that I go to.
I mean, but you, let me ask you this. Could God give you the ability to love something that you can't do?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So, if you love it, it don't matter how well you are at it. That's what you love doing. Period. The judgment fact comes in humans and what we think sound good. But love is what creates what you get out of something, not whether you're good at it. Now, am I going to come to your concert? Hell no, I'm not coming. You know what I mean? Look at the dude they made a mockery of, 50 Tyson. Rapper 50 Tyson.
Okay.
Yeah.
He made dope. Yeah. Antoine Dotson, call your kids, call your wife. They probably, you know, he knew he was going to be successful. He didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's all about believing you're going to be successful. So do I agree with encouraging people that can't do something and telling them that that's what they can do? I don't agree with telling them they can do it, but I do agree with telling them to keep on doing it.
I'm a fan of encouraging people in general.
Yeah. But don't lie to them. Be like, just keep on, baby. True. You just go. If you like doing it, you do it. I'm not going to tell you. You're great.
You should sing it again.
Said, yeah, you really shouldn't. Yeah. But if that's what you love doing, do it. That's the way I feel about it.
I can agree with that. I was looking at it as from a you can sing, go do this, you're going to be a star. I'd say keep going and keep trying.
If that's what you love doing, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say, well, how do you think I sound? Just keep going.
I
don't worry about how you sound, girl. Just keep going.
I definitely encourage.
Does it matter how you sound? Why they booing, mama? Don't worry about why they booing.
Why are you throwing rocks at my mama? Why are you throwing rocks at my mama?
And I love you. It hurts me more than it hurts you. And look, thank you again, Bam, for joining Off the Pad today.
Word.
Thank you for having me.
These topics. Thank you, fans, supporting these or providing the topics and listening. And, Corey, you got something else?
Yeah. Just before we go, I just want to say thank you again, man, for doing it. And I thank you because, you know, if there's only a couple of people that I can really name for helping me in my comedy career, and you are definitely one of those persons.
Thank God.
Of course, you know, we're like brothers anyway. Yeah. Definitely my brother.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, and, you know, you definitely gave me motivation and encouragement, you know what I'm saying, when I first got started. I remember when we first met, you know what I'm saying, we was at the open mic.
Cafe Diem?
Cafe Diem.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I talked about stuttering, and then you got up behind me, and then you ragged me, yo.
Exactly.
I had never seen him before, and you know, he came in as a great Bam. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, we're lucky to have Bam here tonight. He came in there, I'm like, okay, who was Bam? And then he talked to me for like 5 minutes. He ripped
I opened
me.
Up with Corey. I was like, y'all hear that last dude trying to get some credit? Like, he stutter. I said, did y'all hear him stutter? I said, you know what people that stutter do? They stutter. You ain't stutter. And everybody laughed, but
and then like that the following week or something like that.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the following week, but it was soon after. Mm-hmm. And Corey went on stage, and he was like, hey, I'm Bam.
That's how you get him back?
The funniest thing about that, though, outside of Corey, that was funny. was I'm sitting there laughing, and then another comedian, two or three comedians came over to me and looked at me like, ooh, Corey in trouble. And I'm looking at them like, it was funny. Like, what are y'all? I guess people thought because he was talking about me, I was going to be on some high horse. Like, how dare you talk about me? I'm, as they see it, the Mighty Bear. I'm a regular old comic like everybody else. Mm-hmm. That was funny. So, yeah.
And matter of fact, that same night, you was like, hey, man, come to my spot and do a comedy. You had to spot.
Yeah.
You had to spot it. So, you actually invited me. You opened up your stage to me. And I thank you for that. I bombed that night, too, at Pods, man.
Didn't matter, man. You had heart. And you had that burning desire. Not a lot of people, man. I don't believe in suckers in this game, or people that praise. I believe in praising. I believe in being appreciated. I believe in respecting, you know, people that have been in the game longer because they can teach you a lot. But I don't believe in putting them as being above. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't like being treated that way. Like, when I go places, I really, when I walk in and people are like, hey, man, man, to be honest, I feel kind of uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because I just want to be, just let me walk in, sit down. And, you know, I hate having to speak to everybody because now I got to be a certain way. Everybody excited to see you, so now you got to be excited. I'm pissed off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want to give fives. I just want to sit down. But it is appreciative on the other side because that does mean it's confirmation that you are doing what you should be doing, and you influencing other people to also do what they want to do through what you're doing. So I take it.
I'll be a little sentimental too. First, hey, Michelle.
God, this dude right here.
But not every Ben, podcast. I dig what you're doing for this community, what you're doing with RBA Has Talent. Just your character. I remember, like, I want you to be part of my show, April 29th. You ain't got to say nothing here on this thing, but I would like you to be there if you can.
If I can be there, I'm going to be there.
But you definitely, I'm calling my show the Put Me On Show. And whether you're there or not to be a part of it, you've definitely been one of the most significant people in my comedy career so far.
Thank you. I mean, again, glory be to God, man. I'm just an instrument. That's the reason when I talk about comedy is a small thing. That pulls people to you for a greater purpose. And, you know, legacy is everything to me. If I died today, I would want to know that I affected enough people's lives to where a piece of me lives in a lot of people that I still live.
Did you say infected?
If I said infected, I meant affected.
You probably said affected.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm all about legacy. You know, everybody's here only for a short period of time. And that short period of time that you're here, if you don't leave nothing behind that continues to process, I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but you literally wasted your life.
Word. I remember one of my most memorable moments was when you put me up on Virginia State thing, university thing. Now, this guy came to I was arrogant. But I just knew I had. But I was arrogant, but I still thought I had a bit of humility. Mm-hmm. I didn't find out until after the show how much humility I was missing. Like, before the show, Bam comes to me backstage, and he's like, yo, Jaye, this is a tough crowd. I was like, all right, dude, I've been doing this for almost a year. He was like, yeah, dude, this ain't the same crowd that you be doing at Funny Bone and at open mics. This mm-hmm. is, I'm like, dude, yeah, it's like 7 minutes. I got 7 minutes. This is nothing. He's like, all right. And I get up there. I go through 3 minutes. I hear boo. I'm thinking, all right, that's that one dude. Mm-hmm. Forget that dude. I'm going to get the rest of these people back. I go in for about another 2 minutes. I'm at like 5 minutes exactly. Then another boo. And then it just cascaded.
Wow.
It was boo, boo, boo.
First of all, let's back up. He gave himself too much credit.
Man, it was on 5.5 minutes.
Just be winding that clock then. I guess it's two sides of every story.
This has been off the bat.
I introduced Jaye. I'm walking down the steps. The DJ was like, hey, go back up and get your boy. No, it was probably within like the first 2 minutes because I walked back. I never forget. I was with.
It was not 2 minutes.
Whatever. you're right. It might be one. But
might be one.
Yeah. But I remember I walked back and I was standing backstage talking to a sheriff and to one of the Virginia State University security guards, policemen. Uh-huh. And somebody came out, later named Felicia, opened the door. She said, "Bam!" I said, "Huh?" All I could hear in the background was "boo, boo, 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 boo." Then I saw some dude in the white. I never forget. He had a white jacket on. He was standing up. Like he was throwing something at you. Oh, Lord, let me go get my dog. I went out there, man. I had to go get
making
dog.
This stuff up.
Jaye, we got a comedian, Michael Bam Bam White, and Jaye Boo Boo Tola.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, that's it. But I mean, I done got booed before.
But you know what? After this show, I shook hands to the people when they were leaving.
Wow.
Because I wasn't afraid to face them. I mean, it taught me something. I never got booed again ever at another show since then.
Did I encourage you to do that?
No.
Okay. It was somebody got booed one day, and I encouraged them to go shake hands with the people. Mm-hmm. And it was our friend. They did it, and they understood what you just said. Because when you'd be surprised how many people feel sympathy for you. And you'd be surprised how that little piece, if they ever see you again and you actually are funny, they're more of your fan.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So it's not a bad thing. Now, if you just get like basically, like, you didn't get drug off stage. You just got, they just let you know you weren't welcome.
Ending to closing.
Love what y'all brothers are doing, man. Just stay on the grind that y'all on, because the grind that y'all on going to lead you to places that, you know, you'll never imagine. As you can probably already see, riding with Rod, man, the people you meet and the other comedians in other cities you meet and all that. With you, Jaye, you all booed up now trying to do the wife thing, so you may not make it. But
she's been my biggest supporter and encourager. Hey,
but you know what? To have a woman that supports you in the game,
yeah, that's big.
Is a very, it's a huge thing.
Especially early.
Yeah, which is the reason where you, and not blowing your mind or trying to blow her mind up, but you'll have a better chance at making it by having a real woman that supports you in what you do, and helping you love more what you do by loving you for doing it. So, yeah, I think it's good, man. So y'all brothers, man, just keep doing your thing. And when other guys come up in the game, just always know you're never bigger than nobody. You can learn from everybody. And always continue to learn, stay humble, and know there's always more to learn about this game than you'll ever learn about it. So never think you got it, because you never got it. You're just always growing.
Boom. And where can we find you?
Hit me up at Comedian Bam, Comedian B-A-M-M. Hit me up on mbbwhite.com. MBBWhite.com, or you can also catch me at the Richmond Funny Bone first week of July. RBA has talent, Unplugged open mic at the Hippodrome Theater April 3rd. Or, you know, just Google Michael Bam Bam White. Check out who I am if you don't already know.
And this is Corey Marshall. You can find me at IamCoreyMarshall.com.
I'm Jaye Toler. Hit me up on social media. It's under my name on all platforms, JayeToler. That's also my website, JayeToler.com. And y'all know how we do. This is a podcast where your topics go on the pad.
And we talk about them off the pad.
Peace.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to Off the Pad Podcast with Jaye Toler and Corey Marshall. Be sure to find us online at offthepad.podbean.com. Follow us on Twitter at offthepad. You can also be a part of our Facebook page. Once again, thank you for listening to Off the Pad Podcast. And remember, Micah Bam Bam White has never been behind bars, or at least he can't talk about it. Jaye Toler is a big fan of smiley faces, paws. And Corey Marshall will get married, date other women, and hide money from his wife, and if she finds out, he prefers that you kill him instead of punishing him for life.
This has been a special edition episode of Off the Pad.